We open the scriptures tonight to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and we'll read the 6 verses of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then we want to turn as well to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm just going to read a few verses from Isaiah 40. The first 2 verses and then verses 10 and 11. And you have here, in a sense, the commission of Elijah to the people of Isaiah to the people of God. This is what God tells Isaiah to preach. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. It's on the basis of these passages of Scripture and many, many more in the Word of God that we have the Heidelberg Catechism's teaching in Lord's Day 1. It's on page 3 in the back of the Psalter. Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answers 1 and 2. What is thy only comfort in life and death? That I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins, and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me, that without the will of my heavenly Father not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? 3. The first, how great my sins and misery are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. We begin tonight to look at the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism. And of all the catechisms that were written at the time of the Reformation and all the different creeds that were written, perhaps there is none so popular and such a favorite among Reformed believers as the Heidelberg Catechism, and perhaps no question and answer so well known as the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism. It's personal. What is thy only comfort in life and death? And that's the thread that runs through the entire catechism. It's personal. It's not simply theoretical. But what is your comfort in life and in death? It brings us brings before us all, in a sense, an answer for all that we might face in our life. It brings us before not only life, but death. What is thy comfort in life and death? And when it here gives an answer to death, it gives an answer to anything and everything that may confront us in life, because the greatest of enemies is death. It's wonderfully comprehensive. And we'll see that as we go through the catechism tonight, through this Lord's Day. Psalm 23 is similar. It's also a very well-known and well-loved passage of the Scriptures now. And in the same way, it's personal. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." It's not just theory, but it's an expression of personal faith and comfort and trust in God. It's comprehensive. As Thomas talks about all of his life and all the needs that he has, and even death's dark valley, there the Lord is with him. And he has before his eye as well the comfort of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Every need of the psalmist is met in Psalm 23. So tonight, what are your troubles? What are your fears? What are your trials in your life? Here in Psalm 23 and here in the Catechism, you have the answer to your fears, to your troubles, to your anxieties. Is it grief? Is it pain? Is it the fear of death? Is it disease and sickness? Is it anxiety in your life? Is it related to your work and to your income? Is it persecution and mocking? Is it fears and anxieties in your home with your children? Health issues, education questions? Is it death itself? Here's the answer. Here's the comfort for the child of God. Let's look tonight at comfort and joy in life and in death. Comfort and joy in life and in death. Let's notice first our constant need, second our only comfort, and then third our abiding joy. The Catechism talks about two parts of the Christian's experience. First, comfort in the first question and answer. And then second, joy in the second question and answer, that thou, knowing this, may live and die happily. Joy. What is comfort? Well, comfort is to have strength amidst trouble. Comfort is to have an overwhelming sense of a reality that will overcome and that is greater than whatever the struggles and whatever the troubles that you're going through in the present. Comfort is to be in the midst of a bad situation and to know the answer, the resolution to that bad, that terrible situation. It gives us strength amidst trial. Comfort doesn't always take away the trial, but it gives us an answer in the midst of the trouble and the trial. A pastor comes to a bedside. He can't heal the sickness. He can't make the cancer go away. But he can bring the Word of God that brings comfort and gives strength to the sick. A child has fears in the midst of a storm. A parent can't take the storm away, can't make the thunder stop, but can give comfort to the child in the midst of the storm. That's comfort. To have a knowledge of God's goodness, to have a hope beyond the circumstances. And then there's also here joy. What is joy? Well, joy is the happiness that results from being comforted. And it really goes beyond the comfort and the knowledge of the comfort. Sometimes we can acquire things, and that's not so hard to do. It's not so hard to get things sometimes. But the more difficult thing is to enjoy them. You get things. The more difficult thing is to enjoy them. And that's what we find here. We can have this comfort. We can know this comfort, but in some ways it's more difficult for us to truly find joy and happiness in our life. But these, the Catechism is telling us here, are two real Christian experiences attainable and achievable, a part of a healthy believer's life, to have comfort and to have joy amid the troubles and the anxieties of life. And that's what the psalmist expresses as well in Psalm 23. Expresses the comfort that he has. He talks about the valley of the shadow of death. He says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He has comfort. And it goes beyond that for the psalmist as well. He also has joy. He speaks of a table being spread before him and his cup running over, a bountiful feast and great blessing and joy from the Good Shepherd. This is the believer's experience, comfort and joy. Now the question that the Catechism asks here is a very personal question. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? It's not a theoretical question. It doesn't come and say, now what's the believer's only comfort in life and death? But it's a question that's directed at the individual. What is your only comfort in life and death? Perhaps it's something like this. You're pulled over by a police officer for speeding. The police officer doesn't come to your window and say, well, I noticed today that a lot of people are speeding. Did you notice that too? That's not how he'll come. He'll come to the door and he'll say, you were speeding, weren't you? And it's a personal question. You can't answer it and say, well, a lot of people were. And so here, it's a personal question. Your comfort. What is your comfort? And the answer is personal. My only comfort in life and death. My only comfort in life and in death. And that personal question and personal answer should make us tonight examine ourselves. Where do we find comfort? What brings us joy in life? And if you think about the world in which we live, there are all kinds of places that people find their comfort and their joy. Some find their comfort when things are going very well in their life. And they say, I don't have any worries in my life. I'm very comfortable right now. And I'm enjoying life just the way it is right now. I don't want anything to change. I have good health. I'm prospering in my business and in my work. And so they're comfortable, they're happy in life. Others find their solace and their comfort in their ability to brush aside bad things. Well, bad things happen to everybody once in a while, and every cloud has a silver lining. It's going to be okay. And some find their comfort in that kind of a thing. Others find their comfort in escaping the hard realities of life. And so they get away. Different ways for people to do that. Recreation, vacation, alcohol, drugs, satisfaction of the lusts of the flesh. And people find their comfort, they find their joy in escaping the hard realities of life. Well, there are creature comforts. that put a smile on people's faces and the pleasures and the luxuries of the world in which we live. There's my comfort in life. There's my joy in life, some people say. And you see in all these things that there is a universal need for comfort. There's a sense in which every man knows there's something missing, there's something lacking, but he needs to be comforted. You don't have to go far to see it. Job says in Job 14 verse 1 of man, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He says as well, or in Ecclesiastes we read this, all his days are sorrows and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 23. And you see this in a hospital, you see it in a nursing home, a funeral, a cemetery, a war-torn country, a country where there's catastrophe, where there's refugees, where there's homeless, where there's not food, where there's not shelter, a broken relationship, bankruptcy, crime, theft and murder, and all those other things. They show man's need for comfort in daily life. And as he faces the great threat and enemy of death, this is what man needs. He needs comfort. He needs solace in life. And it's not just what you see, but there are the internal anguish. There's the internal anguish that people go through. Fears, anxieties, hurts, depression. Man needs comfort. Where do you find your comfort? Where do you find your joy in life and for death? And again, to answer this question, we have to see that this is a personal need, and it's an ongoing need on a personal basis. This is not just a universal need, but it's my need. Because at bottom of all of man's need is one thing, sin. And I need comfort in life and in death because of sin. We're all the descendants of Adam and Eve. We just read it in the Belgic Confession. As their descendants, we inherit three things. A sin-cursed world, an evil nature, and a liability to the wrath of God. That's what we inherit. That's what every man in this world comes into. And in the beginning, it wasn't that way. God created Adam and Eve in a perfect world. Adam and Eve rebelled. They sinned against God, and that brought this misery on them. God drove them from the garden. God sent death, and with it sickness and disease and trouble. Adam and Eve became sinful in their character. Sin multiplied in the earth, in their offspring. You see it right away in their children. Murder, hatred. And man needs in this world comfort. The world became a dangerous place to live. Life for man is filled with trouble. We live in this sin-cursed world, and all of it a result of the curse. All of it an expression of the wrath of God against sinful humanity. The curse of God rests on man. And there's a sense, or it's true, that every man and every woman in this world has a sense of that. The wrath of God, Romans 1 says, is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, so that every man knows in his consciousness that there is a God, that this God is just, that this God is holy, that this God requires obedience, and that this God will hold everyone accountable, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of this God. And there's the fear, there's the need, there's the anxiety. Death, and with it, the judgment. And so we all need comfort, and that's a constant need. It's not something that we escape, that we're set free from at some point, but our sinful nature is a fountain, a source of all kinds of corruption that brings anxiety and fear and guilt, and that goes on in our life. We can't escape it. It's a constant need. The troubles never cease. Day by day, they increase. And for the child of God, that sense of who he is and his need of comfort becomes more intense as life progresses. We need this comfort. And the Catechism says, what is thy only comfort? And it gives a beautiful answer. There's a universal need. We realize that. But it's a personal confession. My only comfort. And the Catechism, in a sense, turns us away from self and from experience and from being subjective. Turns us away to the objective revelation of God and of Christ in the Scriptures. And it's rich with Scripture. And I want to show that to you here as we describe what this comfort is. It's rich with the Word of God. The Catechism speaks in the first place of our comfort in terms of belonging, possession. I am not my own, but I belong. I belong to God, my faithful Savior, in life and in death. And the Catechism draws here from different parts of the Scripture. Three references here. Romans 14, verses 7 and 8. The Apostle says, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or whether we die, we are the Lord's. I'm not my own. I'm the Lord's. His possession. Another passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. What, says Paul, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, that ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. With his precious blood, he's fully satisfied. He's purchased me so that I'm not my own. Another passage of Scripture, Acts 27, verse 23, a confession from the mouth of the Apostle Paul in the midst of a storm and in the midst of ungodly men who fear for death in the face of a storm. Paul says, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. In the midst of the storm, I'm not my own, I belong to the Lord. And I serve him. And all these others were so fearful, and Paul, fearless, comforted, strong in the midst of the storm. Whose I am and whom I serve. I'm his. And there is in that comfort, and there is in that also a calling. I serve him. I'm not my own. Now, as we live in this world, what a dreadful thought to think I am my own. My life is in my hands. The events of my life are in my control. My destiny is in my hands. How dreadful. My hands weak. I'm not my own. There's a sovereign God and a sovereign Savior, and my welfare and my future is not in my hands, but in His. He takes responsibility for me. That's here in the Catechism too. Christ takes responsibility for me before God. When you own something, you take responsibility for it. And that's what it's saying here. Christ takes responsibility. He cares for me before God in the matter of my sin and the guilt of my sin. And standing before a just and a holy God, Christ says, this one's mine. Christ takes my sin and curse on Himself. He conquers, the Catechism says, all the power of the devil. All that would be against us. I'm not my own. I belong to Him. I'm His possession. And that begins, you see, in the Scriptures, way back in eternity. And that extends to eternity, and that cannot be changed. It's founded in the sovereign, immutable counsel of God's election. Christ says that we, as His people, have been put into His hand, given to Him by the Father. And none, He says, shall pluck them out of my hand. Here's the foundation, the richness of belonging to Christ. This cannot be shaken or changed. And that's what you find beautifully expressed as well in Psalm 23. What's a shepherd? Well, a shepherd is one who cares for the sheep in his possession. And you have a beautiful explanation of that in the parable that Jesus gives of the lost sheep. The sheep is lost, left to itself. It's headed to certain destruction, but it belongs to the shepherd. And this is what the shepherd does. He goes out after that sheep and looks for it over mountain and valley and puts his own life at risk to bring back the sheep. That's our good shepherd. That's what Christ has done to secure us, to save us. We're His possession. He takes responsibility for us before God. The second thing that the Catechism speaks of here with regard to our comfort, first, possession, second, salvation. I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins. And the Catechism is speaking here not only of body, but soul. It's speaking of the whole person. It's speaking not just of time, but eternity, salvation. Because of what Christ has done for me. And again, we need to look away from ourselves to the finished work of Jesus Christ, to the great price that He has paid for us. He's a faithful Savior. That's what the Scriptures call Him. Again, notice how replete with Scripture this is. In Revelation 1, verse 5, it says, of Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. He's faithful. What does that mean? It means that He's committed. It means that He's unwavering in His commitment and love. It means what He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always. There's the faithfulness of Christ. It doesn't change. It cannot change. He's a faithful Savior. And now you see, how great this comfort is, how all-encompassing it is. Possession and salvation. And the Catechism points to the cross here as the foundation of our comfort. With His precious blood, He's fully satisfied for all my sins. And now, precious blood is again drawn from the Scriptures. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. The death of Jesus Christ by His precious blood is the only means by which the guilt of my sin can be removed. And His death is satisfaction. His death is covering for my sin. We're justified freely by His grace, says Paul in Romans chapter 3, through faith in His blood. The only sacrifice for sin. So there's satisfaction. But then also the death of Jesus Christ is victory. By His death He has overcome the devil and the power of the devil. For 1 John 3 verse 8, this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Satan has been cast out. There's a difference even between the Old and the New Testament Scriptures and the activity of Satan. He's been cast out. Certainly in the Old Testament, God was sovereign over the work and the movement of Satan. But he came before God, the book of Job, chapter 1. He appeared in heaven. But now Satan has been cast out. And he goes about in the earth now as a roaring lion. But Christ has the victory. And the Catechism here points as well to the two main parts of salvation, justification and sanctification. Our comfort in this is that we're not left alone as saved, but we're justified and sanctified. In Colossians 3, He's blotted out the handwriting of our sin. Again, you see that reflected in the Catechism here. He spoiled principalities and powers. And our salvation is spoken of here completely. It's all encompassing. So, this is our comfort, possession, salvation. And then in the third place, preservation. The Catechism says, He so preserves me that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And again, it's replete, it's beautiful with Scripture. It draws on some of the most beautiful passages and comforting passages in Scripture. Jesus says in Matthew 10, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? The hairs of my head, not a hair shall fall from my head. All things must be subservient to my salvation. All things, says the apostle, work together for good to them that love God, to the called according to His purpose. So you have here preservation. Now, preservation doesn't mean exemption from suffering and pain. The body, and in the body we will suffer and go through tribulation and trial, but these will not take away the comfort and the hope and the salvation of the child of God. God has ordained these things. God has ordained them with a purpose. God has ordained them to serve the purpose of our salvation. Even the greatest enemy of death. All to serve my good and my salvation. And so that's the comfort in pain, in anxiety, in fear, in debt, in death. He preserves me all these things for my good. And then the fourth thing that the Catechism points to with respect to our comfort, to define our comfort, is this: the dynamic and the powerful and the present work of the Holy Spirit. God does not leave us alone in this world. Wherefore, says the Catechism, by His Holy Spirit. You know what that means? It means this: God is with us. Because the Holy Spirit is God. He doesn't leave us alone. He's with us in this world. And there are two things that He does for us. He assures us. Again, it's personal. It's not just objective. It's not just theoretical. But the Holy Spirit brings into my consciousness this assurance, this comfort, this strength, this joy. He assures us. He bears witness in my heart and in my life to the promises of God. God has promised. And those promises are mine, and those promises will not fail. And then also the Holy Spirit sanctifies. He makes me sincerely willing and ready to live unto God. That's what regeneration does. The Holy Spirit works a marvelous work to prepare me, to make me able, to make me willing, to make me sincere in service of God. My life is directed towards God. There's a change in me, and I'm conscious of it. My will, my desires are Godward. That's our comfort. I belong to Him, possession. He's fully satisfied for my sins, salvation. He preserves me, salvation that will never fail. And He's with me by the Holy Spirit. And that means that no matter what I go through in this life, I can have joy. Because my joy isn't determined by circumstances, but my joy depends on something greater, the promises of God and the hope that I have. And that's what the second question and answer really, really addresses. How can I live and die happily? How can I live and die happily? And it means this, that this comfort ought to be something that comes into our life daily. It's not just talking about death, and it's not just talking about trouble. But this is a comfort, this is a hope that ought to fill my mind and fill my consciousness every day of my life. The comfort here is not just for days of trouble. It's not just a bomb shelter that I flee to when troubles come my way. It certainly is a shelter in times of trouble. But this comfort ought to be my daily medicine, so that I live in this and I live happily out of this all the days of my life. Oftentimes we take this question and answer of the Lord's Day and we think, well, there's a wonderful thing to read at a funeral. Well, there's a wonderful thing to read at the bedside of a sick one or a dying one. But you see, this should be our comfort every day, all the days of our life. It's appropriate, beautiful. Every moment of my life. This is not just a confession for those occasions, but this is something to live. This is something to to bring with us in our lives, every day of our life. How? Well, the second question and answer really tells us how. How can you live and die happily? How can you know that you belong to Jesus? How can you have this comfort? And the answer is really this: by an increasing knowledge day by day throughout your life in these three areas. First, how great my sins and miseries are. Second, how I may be delivered. And third, how I may show my gratitude. Now, these are not guideposts on the way to salvation. These are not stopping points, and you progress from one to the next in your Christian experience. But these are, and these should be, an explanation of the Christian's experience and knowledge of spiritual things every day of his life. The scriptures tell us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's how. By never increasing awareness of my sin and my misery. We're going to start looking at that next week. We talked about sin tonight. We talked about sin this morning. We've talked about sin all the way through the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn. Poverty in spirit. But it's to lead us into that second thing. How I may be delivered. Know how great my deliverance and salvation is in Christ. The greater my awareness, my continued awareness of my need, the greater my knowledge, and out of that, the greater my gratitude for what God has done for me in Christ. Holy living is not just something to do. Holy living is not just a set of commandments and rules, but holy living is produced by this awareness of who I am, what God has done. And as I grow in knowledge, I grow in godliness. And that brings me joy. There's no joy to the wicked. There's no joy in ungodliness. There's no comfort in all those things that the world seeks to find its comfort in. But God gives us joy. God gives us comfort as we find our salvation in Christ and we live in gratitude unto Him. There's fulfillment in life. There's joy. There's comfort in trouble. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for the comfort that's ours in knowing not only who we are, but what Christ has done for us, and in believing and trusting Him from day to day throughout our life. Increase our knowledge so that we may increase in the awareness of this great good thing that Thou hast for us, belonging to Jesus, that we may live and that we may die happily. We pray it for His sake. Amen.